So friends, in earlier chapter, we have seen some guidelines relating to the import trade. The guidelines were just for operating and undertaking the transactions. Okay. However, all the guidelines, even if it is followed, there are certain elements which called as regulations, which are strictly required to be complied with. Guidelines, you can modify a little bit. It may be in the hands of AD Bank, or rectification can be done by the importers in consultation with the supplier of the goods. But the regulations, you cannot change. Regulations are regulations only. So under these circumstances, the guidelines are different and the regulations are different. Under the circumstances, there are two different chapters I have formulated. Now, in this chapter, chapter number 9, we are going to discuss about the regulations for the import trade. Whenever goods are imported into the country, what are the regulations that importer has to follow? Whose directions in respect of these regulations are most important? That is need to be complied with. So, for our discussion, I have structured this chapter in the manner in which you can very well clearly understand few regulations, that is almost all, but relating to the type of import or type of goods that is required to be imported. General guidelines we have seen. General regulations are also there. Now, these general regulations consist of one, import license. We have passing reference how import license handles and all this, but what is the content of that? How is the, what is the validity of the import license? What are the types of import licenses? Who can use it? At what time of it is it can be used? For that, the regulations are in place. So import license and its types. Then without import license also import can happen. Mostly 80% of the goods are imported without license. Then IDPMS, this is the new concept. Last 5 years, it is implemented by the Government of India, Ministry of Commerce through the Customs Department in aligning with the Reserve Bank of India, and one node is provided to the authorized dealer banks who are handling the import transactions. That is IDPMS. That is Import Data Process Management System. Import Data Processing Management System, that is IDPMS. Then import of gold, import of silver, platinum, jewelry. For them, these are the very liquid securities or goods where in market there is an immediate liquidation happens. Indian currency, foreign exchange, jewelry, platinum, immediately cash can be generated. So under these circumstances, certain specific guideline to this sector is issued by the Government of India. Then in respect of import of the bills, receipt of the bills, okay, and document directly by the importer. No doubt, certain general guidelines we have seen, but little bit certain points from the regulatory perspective that is required to be seen. Okay. In addition to that, import under foreign currency loan, that is buyer's credit and supplier's credit. Okay. Then merchanting trade, this is the new concept. Then OPGSP, online payment gateway system procedure, processors. So that is OPGSP. System providers, then settlement of import transaction, how it can be settled. Elaborately, we have discussed yesterday, but certain regulations are still to be looked into. And finally, the third party payment for import transaction, how it is to be handled by the importer. Okay. So, taking this structure into consideration, this chapter is devised. No doubt, the import trade, as you are aware, that this is controlled and regulated. It is controlled and regulated by Director General of Foreign Trade, which works under Ministry of Commerce and Industries, Department of Commerce, Government of India, and banks are required to follow all the regulation relating to the Foreign Exchange Management Act, current account transactions, and rules framed thereunder, as well as directions issued by the Reserve Bank of India from time to time. Banks are also required to follow the Uniform Rules for Customs and Practices, that is UCPDC. This is the publication, UCP 600 is a publication issued by the ICC Paris, okay, governing all the regulations and implemented across the entire world, all the world where these regulations are applicable. Naturally, the India has also accepted the UCPDC, UCP 600 publication of ICC. Those guidelines are also need to be complied with. Okay, not exactly guidelines, but regulations. Then compliance with the provision of R&S, that is Research and Development, R&D, SES Act 1986, that is required to be complied with whenever there is an import of drawing and design. Separate tax is required, SES is required to be paid by the importers. In addition to that, banks are also advised to importers that they should follow the income tax guideline wherever it is applicable. While most import licenses, now one by one we are going into deep into the chapter. First one we have to see, first is an import license. After introduction, first point for our discussion is an import license. Now the license. License name itself indicates that certain things are prohibited, and to purchase it, there is a requirement of approval. And approval is nothing but it is in the form of license or letter issued by the controlling authority. Now, who is the controlling authority for import? It is a DGFT, that is Director General of Foreign Trade. They will issue the letter in the form of a scrutiny, in the form of security paper, and that is called as a license. Now, this license is issued by the DGFT in terms of the foreign trade policy. Certain items are prohibited to be imported, but whenever there is a need arises, that time it is permitted, provided the importer entity is holding the license which is issued by the Government of India, Ministry of Commerce, which is actually issued by DGFT, that is Director General of Foreign Trade. Now, little bit knowing about the license, now let us understand this license is little bit in deep, because most of the trade people, they do not know how to handle the license. Now, this license, the basic features we will see first. Import license issuing authority. As I repeatedly said, DGFT is, that is Director General of Foreign Trade, issues the license for importing certain prohibited goods. Okay. Then, once the license is issued on application by the importer, then what is the period up to which this license is valid? That means validity of import license. Now, taking into consideration the type of goods that is imported, the validity is determined. In application by the importer, if they are importing the capital goods like machinery or part of the machinery like that, okay. So, import license is valid for capital goods is a 24 months, that is 2 years. And for the normal import, that is raw material, components, consumables, etc., which are called as a current account transactions. So, these are the normal import. The validity period of this license is 18 months. That is 1.5 year. Okay, these both the licenses can be renewed on the application by the importers. Now, if you look at the import license has consist of, it is always issued in duplicate. In duplicate, that is, there are two copies of the import license. First license copy is called as a foreign exchange control copy, and this is utilized while effecting the remittance to the foreign seller or for opening the letter of credit. This first copy. And second copy, that is called as a customs copy, and this customs copy is to be utilized for presenting to the custom authority, enabling them to clear the goods. In the absence of customs copy, importer will be declared as unauthorized importer, and he is liable for confiscation of the goods and penalty will be imposed on it. That is why at the time of when you are importing the goods under license, you must have both the copies in hand. And first copy is required to the bankers. Second copy is required to the custom authority for releasing then clearing the goods, right? Now, the license we have seen. Now, let us understand little bit about the categories of the import. What type of import may be? It is classified depending upon the method and norms under which the imports are, goods are imported, okay? Now, all types of imported goods come under four categories of the goods. Goods are classified to be imported under four categories. One, licensed import. Licensed import means the prohibited goods, which includes the several broad product that is classified as a consumer goods, precious and semi-precious stones, product related to the safety and security, seeds, plants and animals, some insecticide, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, some electronic items, and several items which are reserved for the production by the small scale industries, and 17 miscellaneous as per the special category items. So these items for import into the country requires the license. That is why this is called, it is categorized, because without license these type of goods will not be imported. That is why the license, these are called as a licensed import. Now, free importability or freely importable items, most capital goods fall into this category, but any product which is declared as a freely importable item does not require any import license. If you look at the policy and the provision under that for the import, particularly where the chart indicates that whether it is required license, it is restricted, or it is freely importable, or clearly mentioned in the policy itself. So those items which are mentioned against that, it is freely importable, that they doesn't require any license for that. Now, third one is the canalized items. Canalized items are that items which can only be imported in India through the specific channel of the government, okay, and the government agency. For example, MMTC, HTC, HSTC, these are the companies, or these are the government authorized entities through which the items can be imported. This such kind of import is called as canalized imports. This includes the petroleum product to be imported by Indian Oil Corporation only, then nitrogenous phosphate or potassic or complex chemical fertilizers by Minerals and MMTC, that is Minerals and Metal Corporation of India, then vitamin A drugs by the State Trading Corporation, that is STC, oil and seeds by the State Trading Corporation or Hindustan Vegetable Oils, and cereals by Food Corporation of India. These are the government assigned authorities who can import under canalized items. And their last category, that is a prohibited item, which one cannot import at all. Only four items, that is tallow fat, animal rennet, wild animals, and unprocessed ivory are completely banned from the importation. This is completely banned. It doesn't, even government doesn't have any authority to import it. Okay? Now, having understood the types or categories of the import, now let us understand the category of importers also. Importers. Now, on the basis of the product, those who are importing, whether it is self-consumption, whether it is for trading, whether it is for selling for others, or it is for the group companies, it is divided. It is very difficult to understand. So, customer has or importer has to determine what for he is importing the goods. Depending upon, he will be placed in the category, and there are three categories. Okay, there are three categories or groups where the importers are placed. One is actual user. Actual user means the goods which are imported are completely used by the importer himself, even though it is imported under license or FOR without license. Okay, then second one is a registered exporters. Registered exporters defined as those who are valid registration certificate issued by Export Promotion Council or Commodity Board or other registered authority which is designated by the government for the purpose of export promotion, for the export promotion. These are called as a registered exporters. Then others. Third category is others. And in others, there are two types of actual user license. Okay. General license and specific license. In others, their actual user license, whenever it is imported under license, one is a general license and second one is a specific license. In general license, the license can be used for the import of the goods from the countries, except those countries from which imports are prohibited. Okay, and the specific license is, this license can only be used for import from specified countries only. General license, any countries, and specific license only for from the specific country only goods can be imported. Okay, so these are the two types of actual user licenses are issued by the DGFT. Now, another issue after license is a custom inspection. When we say the goods are coming in, that means imported, then it has to be inspected by the authority who has been delegated that authority to inspect whether it is correct or right goods are imported or not. Any violation of import license, usually, which is scanned by the custom officials, and that too in customs department, no violation should happen. Okay, and inspector and other custom official have authority to inspect and evaluate the goods to be imported. Evaluation has to be the pricing and all other things. Okay, of course it is a part of their job. So the custom officials even have right to charge the fine and also the penalties if they observe any violation in utilization of import license. Okay? Now, types of import licenses. Import licenses are, one is an open general license. Open general license means where there is no specific license is required. While normally one is importing the goods, there is no license required, but declaration is required to be given by the importer. That means the food article, drugs, they are generally allowed to be imported and expected by all the countries freely without any restrictions. Therefore, these type of goods are not required any licensing formalities to be complied with. So it is called as a open general license item. Open general license was the word which was earlier used during the regime of FEMA, Foreign Exchange Regulation Act. As soon as the FEMA came into the existence in 1999, that is 2000 particularly, the wording of the open general license has been changed and it is called as a freely importable item or free importability. Okay, so when open general license or OGL word is used, you can consider that it is a freely importable items. Now, another one is a import against the specific import licenses which we were talking about. So many items such as second-hand capital goods, plants and machinery, engines, and these are required to be purchased at little bit low price considering it's the residual life of these items. These are permitted to be imported. Such a second-hand machinery and the goods are allowed to be imported into the country only through the specific license which is obtained for the said purposes only. Next one will be the import against specific import license. Okay, these licenses would set henceforth the conditions which are required to be met by the importer to prove that the residual life, as I said earlier also, life of the machinery that can be used by the ultimate importer. So, import of firearm, ammunition, always covered under the specific license in most of the countries. Now, another one is import, that is quantity restriction or quota. Quantity. Some countries like USA do allocate the quantity restriction for import of items like textiles. Then maybe the exporters would have to adhere to the quota norms. Only specific quantity you are permitted to be imported. For that, there is a license issued considering the quota. So that is called quota license also or quantity restriction also. Then export licenses. Like import licenses, export licenses are there. While domestic industries are engaged in export of some important natural resources and raw material like iron, steel and certain kind of herbs, etc., the government control the restrict on export through issuing the export licenses. Because first, it is expected that first it is to be used by the countryman and then it can be exported further. For that, for the purpose of exporting such kind of goods, export license is required. Finally, coming down to understand the negative list. Negative list means it cannot be ordinarily or generally permitted to be imported. Okay. So, these items requires the specific approval from the government authorities, that is DGFT. So, most countries maintain the negative list of the items which will be prohibit the importers to import or export of certain items like animal hides and other wildlife, precious and wildlife, livestock, narcotics. And there are many more sensitive items which are prohibited from exporting or importing. Such items are placed under the list which is called as negative list. And when people import or export the items into the country without applicable licenses, do not bring in consignment, avoiding the custom clearance and thus avoid paying the duties, as well as those items that are prohibited are brought into the country illegally, such a trade is labeled as smuggling. This is called as smuggling. Outside the purview of the customs, outside the channel of the customs, items are getting imported or exported. Okay. Now, import without license. Import without license, first item when we sell open general license. And this is also called as a free importability, that is what I said. So this is the OGL, that is open general license, which also nowadays it is called as free importability. In India or any other country, if you go, all the commodities, all the products are getting classified, and particular number is given to that classification or that particular product after classification. As per the ITC-HS classification, that is Indian Trade Council HS classification, there is no terminology called as an open general license, as I said earlier. However, in India during the Exim Pier policies in 70s or 18, they are freely imported, exported items were still used to be monitored based on the license issued under the OGL. There is no license, but declaration is given by the government that without physical license, you can import the goods. Free. Now, all these items and the sensitive import items are monitored by the Director General of Foreign Trade, okay, where no separate item is required. As on date, importability of the and exportability of the items in India is classified into three categories. One is a prohibited items, second one is a restricted item, which includes the items which is reserved for state trading units, or maybe it is requiring the permission, etc. And third one is a freely importable. Some of the categories where the import license is not required in general is under the free importability, that is under OGL, that is open general license declaration, simple declaration is required. Then private import for personal use, post doesn't require any license. Then import into bonds, just to keep, bring the goods into the country and keep into the customs bond or warehouse. Keep it there for further processing. As long as it is not required, it will remain in the bonds or warehouse or in the custom territory. Okay, and import through the courier doesn't require any license, right? Now under free importability, importing the goods into India, buyer must check the item in the ITC-HS code, that is code is given, that is in foreign trade policy book, handbook, it is for each and every product there is a code provided which is called as ITC-HS code. And to know whether this item is free or import or restricted or prohibited, import export code number, that is IEC number, is required for the import under importability. And that is true for all the importers and exporters, this code is required, that is IEC code is required. Now let us understand something about private and personal import. In general, personal import is a direct purchase for own consumption, okay, foreign goods, overseas mail or mail order, or the company, retailers, manufacturer, or by individual. For the personal use, there are two types of the personal imports. One is direct personal import. Direct personal import means an importer himself or herself places an order to the foreign mail order companies and retailers or manufacturers and imports directly from them for the personal consumption. Indirect means an importer places an order to an import agent and the import of the goods via agent, not directly. In any case, since the personal import is a direct trade with the foreign country, a buyer must or importer must understand various rules and regulation while importing of such goods. IEC number, that is import export code number, is not required for the personal import either directly or indirectly. Okay. Now coming down to understand the postal import, it is very lengthy and it is very complication, little bit complications are also there. So let us understand it carefully, what is the postal import. Rule, what rule says? Boxes or bags which contains the parcel, which is labeled as postal parcel or parcel post or parcel mail, letter mail, will be allowed to pass in the foreign parcel department of the foreign post offices, and it is subject, and it also for sub foreign post offices. On receipt of the such kind of parcel or mail, the postmaster hands over that to the customs along with the some documents which consist of memo which shows the total number of parcels received from each country of the origin. Then second one is a parcel bill in sheet form, which is always prepared in triplicate and which is having the sender's declaration and any other relevant document that may be required for the examination or assessment by the customs department. On receipt of the parcel or mail, the postmaster hands over that customs to the document, which consists of, again, the third document is relative customs declaration and dispatch note. And finally, any other information which is required in connection with the preparation of the parcel bill, which the post office is able to furnish. On receipt of the document, the custom appraiser, customs also have the appraisers, no? What is brought in or whether it is correctly brought in or not. So, on receipt of this document, the custom appraiser shall scrutinize the details given by the parcel bill and shall identify the parcel required to be detained for the examination, either for want of necessary particulars or defective, a description is given, or suspicious or suspected misdeclaration is given. For that purpose, the appraiser appraises that and inspects that. Valuation also, undervaluation, overvaluation is done or not, that is also required to be checked when it comes to the customs. The remaining parcels are to be assessed by showing the rate of the duty on the declaration by the parcel bill. For this purpose, the appraiser, generally guided by the particulars given in the parcel bill or custom declaration, which is normally given by the seller, okay, along with the dispatch note. When any invoice, document, information is required, whereby the real value, quantity, description, content of the parcel that can be ascertained, addressee may be called upon by the post office or customs department and by way of notice to produce and furnish such an invoice, document and information so as to doubly check that what is ordered is by him or somebody else. Wherever necessary also, the values from the declarations are entered into the parcel bill and after conversion into the Indian currency, because when it is imported, it is drawn in foreign currency only, then it will be converted into Indian currency by taking into consideration the ruling rate as on that date, particular date, and the amount of duty is calculated to be entered. The relevant copies of the parcel bill with the declaration so completed are then returned to the postmaster immediately. In case of postal import, duty is calculated at the rate and the valuation in force on the date, and this is required to be paid by the importer, right? In case the list is presented before the arrival of the vessel carrying the goods, the list is deemed to have been presented on the date of arrival of the vessel. First documents are received and then vessel is received, then that list is called for by the customs official and it will be checked when the vessel arrives. Then parcels which are marked for the detention in the manner indicated above are the detained by the postmaster. Any suspicious or anything is found suspicious, then the parcel will be detained. A rest parcel will go forward for the delivery to the addressee on payment of the duty, which is marked to each parcel. As soon as detained parcels are ready for the examination, they are submitted to together with the parcel bill to the customs. After examination of these parcels, which are detained, and a content is also verified, like parcel bill, custom note, then rate, duty against each item. Examined word or stamp is required to be put by the customs officials in the parcel bill, which is relating to the parcel, confirming that these parcels are examined by the post, examined by the customs appraiser, and the postmaster's copy will be returned to the customs. In case the receipt of the letter mail bag and the postmaster gets the bags opened and scrutinized under the supervision of the customs with a view to identify the packets containing the dutiable, containing the dutiable articles or not. If articles are the dutiable, or duty is required to be levied, then it will be detained and presented in due course to the customs appraiser. Duty is calculated and importer has to make the payment. After examining and filing the details of the content of the value of the bill, the custom appraisal will close. Custom appraisal will note the rate at amount which the duty is required to be paid. All parcel, packets, or anything which is required to be opened and after examination reclosed by the post officials and are then sealed by them with the distinctive seals. Duties, that is custom duties, as assessed by the custom officials, invariably require to be paid, or it is required to be recovered by the post office from the person who is the addressee at the time of delivery to them. Parcel bills or letterbox, etc., or other documents on which assessment is made, which is remaining in the custody of the post office, but duplicate where these preparedness are, whether this this is kept, is in the customs department for dealing with the claim, and that will remain there only. That will remain as long as it is not claimed. Okay, remittance in payment of the bill, which covering such a kind of postal imports, which is required to be freely made, under the postal receipt, when the postal receipt is produced. And there is no hesitation, if properly stamped, signed by the postal authorities, these receipts are submitted, remittance can very well go ahead. Thank you very much.